Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas, for all the news that you need to know. And this is Friday, the 8th of September, 2023. First up, Babylon Bee nails it. So much of what we deal with is an Orwellian opposite, and the Bee nails it on this one, that Trump's trial for election interference is going to begin in time to interfere with the election. But Brian, this week, so I've seen a couple of times, and I'll just go ahead and play this little clip here, where we're getting the telegraph from our opponents that Kamala is going to be stepping in as president.
Most class.
Let's wait for it here a little bit. Ooh, no, it's not gonna allow me to do this.
Well, you just
screen
have the
share
sound
is paused.
Oh,
let me try setting it up one more time here.
Want to start it again?
Questions about how you would step in the role, you know, if necessary. Do you feel prepared for that possibility? As serving as vice president, prepared you for that job?
Yes.
And how would you describe that process?
Every vice president understands that.
So she's bullshit since she gives a script. But what I want to point out is that this was telegraphed here and here about her being ready. So they're starting the narrative that she's ready to step in. Now, the actor playing Biden, in contrast, he's showing dementia, or at least in the script. And I'll show this to you in a minute.
If the president continues to test negative, will he wear a mask in India for how many days? And will he do anything else to change his behavior as he's around so many world leaders?
No, it's a good question. Look, as you know, there's about, I believe, a 10-day window, right? Once the person who's in close contact, the president's going to continue to follow CDC guidance. And as I mentioned at the top, that includes masking, that includes testing. The testing is not recommended to be every day for a person who's close contact. And so.
Lord, buddy, let me explain to the press. I've been tested again today. I'm clear across the board. But they keep telling me because this has to be 10 days or something, I got to keep wearing it. But don't tell them I didn't have it on when I walked in.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, and that was after this Medal of Honor ceremony where he became confused about when he was supposed to leave. And he left the ceremony earlier and he wasn't wearing a mask as he clasped a medal around a Vietnam War veteran. So, Brian, what do you think about this theater moves? So talk to us, brother.
Well, not only have I heard this buzz about Kamala, well, I mean, I guess I heard somebody talking about it the other day on those Kamala interviews, and the larger context was, you know, hey, if something were to happen to Joe Biden, would you be able to step in? And she was like, yes, I'm ready. I'm always at the ready. You know, so I don't know what exactly it means, but I imagine that the House representatives that are working on getting this thing closed are looking forward to October when they're back in session and they're able to take a closer look at the Biden Hunter charges or issues that at least are driving whether or not he's capable of staying. It seems like the elephant in the room is that Joe Biden is not fit for the presidency, that he cannot remember, he cannot move properly. He's lost in space, as you would have it, and almost like permanently on vacation, like a guy his age ought to probably be, rather than being a puppet of this New World Order, Victoria Nuland, Barack Obama machine that's set up. I had also heard this week that Michelle Obama was going to be making a run. I think that's a lot of wishful thinking, because the other thing I heard about Michelle Obama was that she's having a real hard time with the death of this chef. She's got some other concerns that are taking place, and that she's may not be sticking around for very long with Barack. So maybe the heat's on. Maybe Maybe they're under a lot of pressure, but look, the only type of pressure that I can see that's going to be effective on them right now is Comer's work in the oversight committee, along with Grassley and Johnson and Jordan and Gates and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others that are applying pressure about the Hunter Biden scandal. I think that that's going to be the downfall of him. Whether they'll take him out or not, I'm not really sure. But it's becoming very, very clear to the American people that this is a black and white issue, meaning there's no longer a gray area where you say, you know, Donald Trump is all this bad guy and Joe Biden is all this good guy. You know, it just doesn't blend. There's something that's going wrong inside the machine that's causing people to realize that the system is rigged. We're going to take a look at a couple things later on in this that are indicating that even the young people are starting to pick it up as we go along. And I think that Babylon Bee headline is about as perfect as you can get in terms of, hey, these guys are doing everything they possibly can to interfere with the election. And that's obviously true, especially with this Proud Boys situation that came up. So we'll see how things keep going. But at this point in time, I got my bet on the House Oversight Committee a lot more than I have on the transition to president in 2024. I'm hoping that those boys in the House can continue to their job and get it done right.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation. So as we've covered multiple times here, we're not even talking about Joe Biden. We're talking about an actor wearing a mask and the puppeticians, they just read scripts. So for whatever reason, Kamala is being pushed up, cackling. Kamala and Gavin Newsom also was asked if he was going to run for 2024 for president, and he was scripted to say no, the path is for Kamala. So they're setting this up. And one of the questions in one of those interviews was giving Joe Biden's age in the year 2029, because that would be how long that actor would serve. And I think he would be 89 at that age. So it's amazing theater. And we'll see what happens next. Whatever it is that the Dem leadership is going to try to do, I don't think any of the moves to date have really helped them. And these certainly don't attract any voters for their cause. All right, next. Steve Kirsch. Citing the data, the U.S. nursing home data shows clearly that the COVID vaccines were a disaster for the elderly. They increased the risk of dying from COVID. And I pumped this up as large as I could so that you go ahead and see this data. So we have the cases measured down here, and you can see that there are spikes. And then the odds ratios for death. We have, when the vaccine was rolled out, that you had an increased percentage of the elderly dying. And that data is pretty clear. And regarding the possibility of COVID 2.0 being rolled out, again, I provide this as documentation, sufficient documentation that the emergencies were declared illegally. I mean, the governor can declare an emergency, but the requirement for an emergency here in the state of California is beyond control local resources. And that was to keep the hospitals clear, as they said. And this is sufficient documentation that the PCR tests are nonsense. The flu disappeared by 99%. The leaders of science admit that they can't distinguish between COVID and flu because they don't have any samples of COVID-19. They designed the test and overcycled them with generic flu stocks. They're counting the deaths of it's just all of it is just nonsense. And
yeah, according to Kirsch, yep. There, the U.S. nursing home data shows that both the primary series and the booster COVID vaccines increase the risk of death from COVID for the elderly. The bivalent vaccines didn't make things worse, but they didn't make things better either. The two things reduced the infection fatality rate were natural immunity and the arrival of a much less deadly Omicron strain, they say, as the dominant strain. In December of 2021, basically the data that he shows indicates that the vaccine significantly increased the risk of an elderly person getting COVID for around 4 months, which was the time when the vaccine was supposed to be the most effective. And then the article does cover all the attempts to discredit the analysis that don't have any evidentiary support. and don't provide any numbers to justify their data. So basically what they're saying is the jab makes things worse, especially it has an especial effect on the elderly there. So pretty interesting data. It's one of 10,000 different scientific type articles and studies that are out there, but Steve Kirsch does a great job sort of isolating it and getting to the point. And this is more scientific than usual in terms of it's not just your typical street grade editorial. It's got some real meat behind it.
Yep. All right. Second smartest guy in the world. So the idea that there are health responses that corporate media and big pharma do not pursue, and they do not promote because there's no money in it for them, and they may actually not want a healthy, thriving species of human beings, because, you know, if human beings get inspired for answers in one area, they may get inspired for answers in others. And this particular point is a part of a bigger picture. This is Fred Burke's friend and colleague of mine, wanttoknow.info. Fred is a former translator in the Department of State. He translated for Bush and Cheney. And he has given, this is in my estimation, the best public source for information, reliable information on a variety of topics. And one of the most important aspects to understand about how we're being tortured and poisoned is that there are answers and there are other routes. And I'm just going to give one example here, and I do recommend people explore this. Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. This is a documentary. I have a colleague who is teaches at the medical school at Stanford, and she contacted me maybe like 5 years ago, and I asked her if she had seen, because she's a medical doctor at Stanford, and I asked her if she was familiar with that documentary. When I saw that documentary probably 10 years ago, I watched it back to back. It was so fascinating. It's like 10 different documented historical responses to cancer that ends cancer. And the FDA ends up destroying the reputations and the results, and in tragic comedy. So I asked this person who contacted me from Stanford if she knew of it. And she said, I show that documentary to my medical school students. And in talking to her, she does cannabis research. And she said that, okay, so Stanford does everything in its power to thwart research that is going to threaten federal money coming in. And because cannabis is still considered by the federal government as a Schedule I drug, meaning it has no applications and high risk for abuse, they frown upon any university attempting to do research in that area. And this person also said that everybody on the inside doing cancer research knows that cannabis destroys cancer cells. Everybody knows. So there's a whole world of suppression of technologies, of medical, of health information to get out there. And between now and victory, people have a challenge of trying to hustle and scramble and do the best they can. And one of the things to be clear upon is that human beings have been poisoned, tortured, and mind controlled for centuries. So much of our practices have been poisoned is the best way I can say it. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, I agree. And I think it's been a long haul conspiracy theory that they wanted to come up with some combination of pharmakia, pharmaceuticals, that would basically destroy the human being's ability or separate the human being from the soul. That's the concept of what's called pharmakia, the old Greek word that used to describe sort of witchcraft that would take place. And of course, that's morphed into modern medicine. I forget the guy's name, David. Right off the top of my head. But he did The Cult of the Medics. Great series. I think it's maybe about 6 or 7 hours long. And I've watched every one of them, although it's been a while. What's really interesting about the article on ivermectin, the second smartest guy in the world, the first article that you pulled up, is that what that study is showing is that, of course, there's been a war on ivermectin for quite a while, but it's got a lot of potential to defeat cancer and other chronic diseases associated with aging. And the article mentions that ivermectin has properties that can be used in combination with some other drugs for the prevention and treatment of cancer, not only in animals, but also theoretically in humans. It's a powerful anti-aging drug and can be used to reduce the risk of chronic illness, cardiovascular disease, among others. And the article cites several studies that support the idea that ivermectin can induce some very healthy type results, which can help in the treatment of cancer. So I'm glad to see him focusing on that particular one, in the sense that, if you recall, when COVID first hit, President Trump came out and talked about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And of course, the CDC and all the pharma puppets that are out there talking about it tried to poo-poo the idea. Twitter got into the game. Facebook got into the game. They wanted to get rid of medical disinformation. Ridiculous. But the second article that you come up with about the health information summaries is basically sort of a super fast, super quick moving index of some of the resources that are out there that are available to help people. And my sister recently went through cancer and she got the traditional treatment. She had what she called really good insurance and went through the traditional treatment, and she's done very, very well on it. It's been about a year, but she's had to go through hell with it. And I asked her, I said, what do you think of sort of the alternative cures? And she said, well, I've always researched, I've always known, but when it came to the rubber meeting the road and the fact that I had breast cancer was, you know, I just had to go with what the docs were saying. And I think that'll be the same for a while, but I do think that that sort of foundational rug is getting pulled out from underneath current modern medicine, although it looks very impressive and they have their big hospitals and their big doctors and their big ideas with all their stuff. I've heard some people say, just some very smart doctors say, some of the dumbest things that I've ever heard in terms of what it takes to make people healthy and what it takes to keep people healthy. I remember some big time doctors that were close to the family recently talking about how, or about maybe it was 4 years ago, talking about how mRNA was such an exciting new uptick in modern medicine. And of course, now they've all changed their tune because they know the damage that's taken place as a result of the vaccines. So I expect that modern medicine is going to get a second thought from a lot of more progressive minds. But of course, the people that still watch your MSNBC and CBS and the normies out there are going to continue to believe that these doctors hung the moon. I just simply don't believe it. I think this seducia, the serpents on the rod, is just got too much old historical depth and meaning. And for those of us that are, I guess you would say, spiritually literate, we recognize it as some sort of pharmakia rather than a traditional natural cure.
Yeah. So 30 years ago, before the internet, we would send videotapes to people, and there were services where you could shop, and you would, through the U.S. mail, you would get a list that would have been Xeroxed or hand-turned copy of videos that you could buy. And I bought many such videos to educate myself on the real world of conspiracy theories, including Jim Fetzer's presentation from the 1990s, the original one. It was kind of a top 10 piece on the JFK assassination. But one of the videos that I got was Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and taking a look at the mortality rates of physicians being quite significantly lower than the rest of the population, and therefore and going through the training that they get as a medical doctor, which I believe is one semester of nutrition. So part of the message was to consider that your physician is trained by Big Pharma for Big Pharma, and that their applications of those practices for themselves, they reflect the poisoning within the system.
So I'm sorry, I want to make sure I understood you. You said that the documentary Dead Doctors Don't Lie says that they die more often or less often?
The that physicians as a whole, their age of death is lower than the general population.
Okay, so they're not living as long as they right. ought, being that they're so it's the old physician I heal myself paradigm that was cast at Jesus while he was hanging on the cross, you know. Hey, you know what? I think that they're involved in some stuff that they don't even realize. It's just like some of these people at the lower level, lower levels of the Masons. They don't have any idea what they're involved with. They think they're involved in a sort of man-building organization of good men and better men. But the higher up you go and the deeper you get, the more you realize that there's a real power behind the throne there that that's a real problem. And I think physicians probably... Look, when it comes to medical stuff, I really like Crow, and a lot of people won't cover Crow, but he does 2 hours of episodes a week. And I'd say 40% is natural healing type stuff. And I've been very impressed with Crow and some of the coverage that they have. It's crow777.com. And I am a subscriber. I try to listen to him at least once a week. I listen to at least the second hour, maybe not the first hour of the podcast because it's YouTube friendly, but the second hour I do listen to, and I've been put in touch with lots of unique ideas of vibrational healing frequency stuff, which isn't normally my stuff, being that I'm sort of a theological type of guy, but I do believe in the ether. I do believe that we have a connection. I do believe that's how prayer works. I do believe that there is a connection between us and the natural world that was built into us. And I think that's modern medicine does everything they can to separate us out from that and isolate us. Whereas the natural way of life would be to be very well connected to the things that are happening, walking around bare feet and having interactions with the plants in the garden and positive frequencies and stuff. I think all that adds to health. And I'm not a nutcase. I don't do yoga or anything like that. But I do believe that this world has a design and an engineering to it that makes us sort of a more holistic beast.
Yeah. Once we gain victory, we're going to find out that we really didn't know anything about anything. And practices that you're talking about, like going barefoot, I have read some of the studies with that, with grounding of the health benefits for it. And there's just a lot. And I shared what I thought was a significant resource for people. But, you know, people are finding out. Yeah, it's just
You hear about some of these Amazonian medical men, that, you know, these guys down in the Amazon that live for 140 years and things like that. It's just some nutty stuff. And they've got connections and understandings that we haven't even begun to dream of in terms of what these guys have managed to figure out through generations and generations and generations of living in the rainforest and surviving off of it. It's just vastly different type of education than this neophyte garbage that we put out in our educational institutions.
Yep. All right, next. This is an interesting story. So we have at least what we're seeing is the threat of Musk suing the ADL. And I want to present the possibility that one of the designs of our opponents is to create a group that allegedly is to take care of some persecuted group, like to stop people from Nazis with Antifa. But in reality, the group is really causing the problem on the front end to justify its existence, and it's just kind of a money laundering type of thing. So the premise would be is that the ADL is really behind the funding of, and we have some evidence here that some of the people who have been involved in these Nazi demonstrations have been, let's see, no, that's a different story there, have been connected to the ADL. So you cause the problem and then you present yourself as the solution. So we'll see how this progresses. I'm very interested in that one. And for our show on BitChute, regularly in the comment sections, we have people who are blaming all problems of the world on quote unquote the Jews. And I see that as a setup for a future censorship of the channel because we're anti-Semitic. So I take care and respond to those and ask them, hey, what percentage of people who claim that religion do you think are associated with these crimes? And that draws crickets. So it communicates to me that we're just being targeted and smeared on that half. But Musk suing, or the threat of a lawsuit, and the reveal to the American public that these people are causing the problems that they claim to be there to respond to. Brian.
Well, this does surprise me coming from Elon Musk. You know, I never trusted the guy, but on this particular issue, hey, what can I say? He's basically setting it up as sort of a Twitter versus the Anti-Defamation League as sort of the brawl of the decade to expose the highly calculated fraud of anti-Semitism. You know, Musk comes out and basically exposes the ADL as an extreme hate group and illicit global censorship platform. And it talks about how corporate media is turning against the ADL hate group and the censorship platform. Basically what Musk is arguing is that whoever has the bigger dog in the fight is going to win the fight, especially in today's quote unquote American junkyard. In other words, Twitter's a lot bigger than the ADL. And Musk is a lot bigger than Jonathan Greenblatt, the current CEO of the Anti-Defamation League. And then it mentions that Greenblatt's a proven and pathological liar and a delusional psychopath, and has been that way for a long, long time. And so I think just as people in America are beginning to recognize that let's take the white versus black thing in America. You know, we're beginning to recognize this as an evil way to divide us. And people are beginning to see it. And even the blacks are coming around. Like I've watched a bunch of review videos of the new Oliver guy's song. Oliver, great.
Anthony Oliver.
Great song, great musician. Yeah. The guy's really getting famous. He's doing a good job. He's keeping away from the record labels. But you watch the black guys, especially the country music type guys, review it, and they're like, yeah, we don't want this kind of trouble in our small town. And so the black guys are beginning to recognize that, hey, wait a second. This isn't a black thing. This is a society thing. And I can tell you that when America finally wakes up to what they're doing to us, they're going to begin to understand why the Anti-Defamation League narrative has been pushed so hard for so long, because there really is something there in terms of, I think that there's some very evil Zionists at the very top of what Israel would be. There's a lot of great Israelites out there that are good Jews, great people, but there's a portion of them that are just pure and simple Zionists. And you can just look in the history books and see how they've been modified and how history has been rewritten to make them sort of the ultimate victim, just similar to what they're doing to with the black people right now. And so reparations for blacks and reparations for Jews. It's all ridiculous. It's all ridiculous.
Moving on. It is. It is tragic comic. It is crazy. And talk about crazy. So this is Tucker Carlson on Twitter, a man who claims he had sex with Barack Obama in 1999, tells his story. But look at the picture he put on there. That's funny. And we'll go with this, with humor, with this. So Bill Gates, or at least his brand, the actor playing Gates, if he even exists anymore, purchased Bud Light. And this just nails it. So in the background, I think Americans have had enough, and they have been disclosed enough information to make an informed choice about that these are psychopaths, but you know, we can't make that call for them. So Brian, any comments on Bill Gates and Big Mike and Barry?
Well, Bill Gates, this isn't the first time people that have been tracking his investments have taken note of certain beer investments. Of course, prior to the Dylan Mulvaney type of thing, just prior to all of that coming out, Gates had, I mean, I guess little by his means, he had bought $10 million in one of their competitors of stock. And of course, that competitor took off. So somebody had some inside information about something that was going on with Bud Light. And of course, now you see the stock, what he's probably doing is telling you it's about as low as it's going to go. People are going to forget about the Bud Light fiasco, and people are going to move on to other bigger important things with the election season coming out. And although Bud Light has taken a big hit, they've got a big advertising budget. They'll continue to play the game and the brand will be around for a long, long time. I still see people today that I couldn't believe it drinking Bud Light, but I mean, I would never drink that piss, but different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Literally and figuratively, yes. Indeed. All right, next. I want to give a personal example of the state of the war. So as an AP macroeconomics teacher, we have a discussion board run by the college board, and the moderator is a college professor, and he has previously forbade me from bringing up any current events. I've been engaged since 2009 in this war, and I lost a big battle with, as an AP US government teacher, challenging the legality. In 2012, I gave the documentation that the ongoing U.S. wars were illegal, and that this was the basis of a paper that was used for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney and published research. And they banned me, and they said, Mr. Herman, it's not appropriate to bring up the legality of war in an AP in a college level U.S. government class, and then didn't allow any questions or consideration. So AP Macro, I have been threatened to be banned if I bring up any current events, but the moderator, he made a mistake. And here's our discussion board here. There's David Anderson, the moderator. How is the new school year going? Have you encountered any issues or good ideas we should discuss in the teacher community? Now, he seems just to be happy because he does teach a section of AP Macro to students to, you know, so I responded. And I hit up with data points that 1% of the humans own more assets than the bottom 99%. And that that little graphic that we showed a while ago, I'll just remind people of it here, of this guy talking about housing prices. And that basically means that housing is going to be unaffordable to the students that we're teaching. Oh, I hope this doesn't kick me out of the whole thing. Yeah, it's going to kick me out of the whole thing. So I hit him up with this data that our students aren't going to be able to afford a house, and that we have rich men north of Richmond. That's basically an economic song, 59 million views in 4 weeks. Rapper Dax had a remix, 1.9 million views in 5 days. And to hit more of this data is that the 1% are wealthier than the 99%, giving some of the data points. 30,000 children die from preventable poverty every day, 500,000, actually it's more than that now. Americans are homeless, 62 people on earth own more than the bottom 50%. The US 0.1% owns more than the bottom 90%. And that all of this is just tragic, comic. And
sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
Oh, no. And I had placed, I don't have it here. I placed a graphic in there and it kicked me out because I shouldn't have used that window of the top country song showing that Richmond north of Richmond is number one. And try that in a small town and two more. So it's four of the five positions are kind of economic songs in protest. But I haven't gotten any responses from that list. But I did get a response. I don't have it here. I did get a response from Dave Anderson, the moderator. He had removed the graphic and he sent me. Now, this is leadership. This is his representation of leadership. He sent me an email without an ability to respond. So it was one of those no respond emails. And he said that I had violated copyright by sharing an image. We share news stories all the time. And to stick to appropriate topics. Yeah. So that's the state of leadership for economics. Yeah.
Carl, you need to stick to appropriate topics. Pay no attention to the fact that 1% of the population owns more than the other 99%. Pay no attention to the fact that home prices are becoming less affordable, which I think is a critical issue. And that said, I want you to bring up this tweet that I found that I just put into the chat session. And I want you to play this 1 minute of Robert F. Kennedy. And I want people to take a listen to what he has to say here, because I think it's just it's critical, and he's telling the truth. And maybe we're not quite ready for it, but what is the purpose of government? Don't we have anti-monopoly laws? Can't we break up monopolies? Let's see what Robert Kennedy has to say about the issue and why it's so important.
More importantly, there's three giant corporations, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, which own collectively, they own each other, so it's really one giant corporation, but they also own 89% of the S&P 500. Mm. They own everything. They've now decided to buy every single family home in America. So if they stay on the current trajectory, they will own 60% of the homes in this country, single-family homes, by 2030. They literally are trying to buy everything. And the head of it, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, is on the board of the World Economic Forum. And what they, you know, they've said, we want this great reset, which is you will own nothing and you will be happy. Well, they're on their way to making sure that we don't own anything. So you all probably have heard of people who are about to buy a home, mm-hmm. and somebody comes in with at the last minute with a cash or offer and snatches off the out of the market.
Right.
And it's usually an LLC with an ambiguous name. But if you trace that up, you'll find it's owned by BlackRock.
Wow.
Yeah, we did cover what Bobby
stunning,
was.
Stunning yeah. words. You know, and it's not that difficult to start to figure out when you start looking at corporate trees, especially with artificial intelligence tools out there, who owns what percentage of what, and what percentage of this belongs to what percentage of that, and where does it go? And yeah, I mean, of course, if I'm a seller, I'm going to take the same offer for a cash transaction than I'm going to take for a mortgage transaction, which has to wait and has all these strings attached to it and may or may not close. If it's a cash offer, it's a cash offer. And I imagine that they hire a lot of very heavy duty real estate sharks and lawyers to protect their identity and go in and do this. But if even 5% of what he is saying is true and real, then we're going to find ourselves in a position where everybody is even more of an economic slave, which goes back to your article, an economic slave to these money masters than ever before. Instead of our rent being paid to a landlord who's trying to get three or four or five more houses, it's going to be paid to a landlord who decides how the economy swings and how the economy doesn't, and a landlord that decides that you better be a slave who works for the government or we're not going to take your money. I know for a fact that because of the fact that I own this business and have this sort of variable income stream, that I'm not as good of a risk as the guy who makes half what I make, but at least it's consistent. So, you know, I'm pretty sick about the whole thing. And I believe that what's happening is that we're cheating the next generation out of the ability to affordably own a roof over their head. And we're going to end up with the sort of China syndrome, which this is the same thing that's happening in China, you know, with the one child policy and that heavy, what's going on in their economy right now is that the kids don't want to work. The kids are bowing out of the workforce because the workforce is such a slave driving. They call it 6-6, 9-9-6. Yeah. No, 6 days a week, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week for peanut pay. And the kids are like, why am I getting all this education and competing in this one child economy, this one child academic economy where they put all the resources into the one child of the family, because the generations above that one child all depend on that child. So it becomes such a hugely competitive environment. And then these kids go get all these degrees, learn all this stuff, and all they can get is sort of a minimum wage factory job. And so these kids are just sort of deciding to lie on the couch like today's millennials. Isn't that sort of the same thing that's happening here today in America? And how much worse is it when we don't even give them the promise of having their own home? I mean, it's going to turn into sort of that weird communist socialist concept. Well, it's okay. The baby boomers will pay for everything that I need. It's okay. dad's got a credit card. I can live on that as long as I can live on that. And then I'll just go homeless and be like all the other people out there. And women aren't going to want to marry the guy because the guy doesn't own anything, because he can't own anything, because he doesn't make enough money. And then the guy's going to find himself into all sorts of, it's just sort of this nasty downward spiral. And these are some very, very evil people that run this Larry Fink organization, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and the others. These are the guys that drive this environmental social government stuff that pushed the masks every time you walked into Home Depot, every time you walked into Walmart. We need to really figure out what they own in our community and seriously make an attempt to stop buying from them. The internet's a big place. You can buy from places that are not owned by these guys.
Yeah. And fundamental to that, and part of my contribution as a scholar in economics, is to demonstrate that this is criminal fraud. The fraud is fundamental at the beginning, because we can demonstrate that by design, the mechanics of the system that we've been given, called a monetary system, it's Orwellian opposite. It's a debt system. And you can see that by what it gets cranked out is an exponential aggregate debt curve. That's by design. That's creating what we use for money as a negative number, a debt credit owed back to the people who had the legal power to issue it. That's what we have. And it is criminal, and we can quantify the damages, and literally annually millions are killed, billions are harmed, and trillions are looted. So even if the mechanics of, or the details of one part of what we're looking at as patriots, as areas to point to and to share and to encourage others to withdraw consent and demand arrest, even if you're confused in one area, you can go back into the basics. And that's part of the contribution of me as a history teacher as well, is that the power of history is to inform your world of the present. So if the clowns are putting attention on one thing that you may be confused about, you can say, no, we have the lie started illegal wars of aggression. We have this bankster looting with the exponential debt. We have COVID crime. So you can make a case in the background for withdrawing consent, and you don't even want to listen to the bullshit in the present of whatever crime du jour they're up to for our world of the present. All right. Well, Brian, anything else about the news stories or anything else with news? Otherwise, we'll go on to our final thoughts.
I mean, I sent you a couple articles. Why don't you just sort of click through the links I sent you in the email real fast, and let's just take a quick look at what they say. Yeah, one of them. Yeah, the first one. Definitely the first one.
Oh, cool. I didn't get these until I was out with our daughter doing archery. Okay, so Republicans get major boosts as fired up young men lean right in record numbers. Yeah. Okay.
Basically what the article says is that a recent survey by a company that's been running these surveys for a long time found that 23% of 12th grade senior boys identified as conservative in 2022, while only 13% described themselves as liberal. The study by the University of Michigan was first conducted in 76, and it's continued. But back then, only 17% of high school boys saw themselves as conservative, and 25% were liberal. And go back to 1976. So conservative identification has basically gone up quite a bit as young men in the 80s and early 90s, but has hit a steady decline until recent years showed a new trend to the right. The female peers, meanwhile, have gone more to the left, with 30% identifying as liberal compared to 12% conservative. So I guess what I was trying to say by that is that we're just taking a look at some numbers related to some articles, and it looks like young men are beginning to get that appetite to be more conservative. And what was it that, I can't believe I'm forgetting this one off the top of my head, but who said it was, Neville Chamberlain, I believe, that said it never fails that if you're young and you're not liberal, you have no heart, but if you're old and you're not conservative, you have no mind. Was that Neville Chamberlain? Maybe something like that.
I don't know.
But young kids are being forced to grow up a lot faster because the girls just aren't into it. They're moving farther and farther and farther away from feeling like they need a man as they go more liberal and liberal and liberal. And young men are starting to realize conservative is the better way. So there's going to be a lot of competition for the girls that don't have 600 guy body counts in the future. You might think that Instagram and TikTok and so have changed the way things look, but I can tell you for certain that a conservative wife is going to be something that's going to be a treasure in the future. Somebody that's able to produce kids for a young family, that those people are going to rule their communities. They're going to be the best there are. They're going to be so, there's going to be such an appetite for them in the employment market. And I'm glad to see that these conservative people are starting, these young people are starting to see the light.
At least the males.
Yeah.
All right. Actually share the screen this time. Okay, good. So, and we have this.
Which one is this?
This is the Oversight Chairman Comer. We have the votes to launch Biden impeachment inquiry this month.
Okay, so this one was dated yesterday. And it's basically just Comer saying, hey, we've got the votes to do it. Now, I'm very confused about what the hell they're talking about, okay? An impeachment is like a proceeding. And it's an impeachment inquiry. So we're gonna use the power of the Oversight Committee to conduct a further investigation. Like, they don't have enough evidence as it is. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. 1/1000th of this evidence would have been used to get rid of a conservative any day a long time ago. But no, they're going to do another inquiry, which will drag on and drag on and drag on. And of course, that'll get stalemated because of Hunter Biden's special prosecutor. These boys got to quit with the inquiries and start with the impeachment. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's get it done.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I stand with Dante that abandon all hope, ye who enter here. And Shakespeare, hell is empty, all the devils are here, and all we're going to get is bullshit. And this is the same as we covered with Speaker McCarthy going to Maui and having a photo op where, you know, he looked concerned and would point, where he was in a helicopter and point and pretend he knows what he's looking at, and he promised an investigation also.
With the exception of Grassley, the old guard needs to go. McConnell's got to go. Pelosi just announced that she wants to get back in on the run on things. I mean, Pelosi's the same age as Biden, for God's sake. The old guard has got to go. Those old dogs that, I mean, remember Harry Reid? Remember what an old dog he was? Anyway, this one here. Okay, so this is a list of American taxpayer funds sent to Ukraine since the start of the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. And remember, if you lived in Lanai, Hawaii, was it Lanai? I can't remember the name.
Lahaina.
If you live there, you get Lahaina. Sorry, you get $700. But take a look at these stupid numbers that are going to this absolutely crazy money laundering scheme and called the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. You add that $500 million here, $10 billion there, $2 billion there. Look, I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time before a Ponzi scheme explodes. And when the Ponzi scheme explodes, I can guarantee you, you know what's going to be worth more than silver and gold? Fresh seeds and 16-16-16 NPK. So I recommend somebody that I've been doing business with every year, I go buy at least the single home kit from a company called Texas Ready. I'm not paid or anything for them. But basically, they compile and send you out an ammo canister full of fresh seeds. What you don't realize about your seeds, people think, oh, I bought some seeds last year. Well, they're only going to have a 50% fertility rate next year, and maybe 30% the year after that, and 10% the year after that. So if you just subscribe to Texas Ready's like annual plan, it's really cheap. Then they just send you an ammo canister full of fresh seeds that were harvested this year, which are going to have the highest fertility rate for you. I guarantee you that when it crashes and the military-industrial complex comes in here with their militarized New World Order, that the guy with the seeds is going to be the guy that cleans house in terms of the neighborhood.
Excellent.
Of course, you got to not just have seeds, you got to know how to use them, but different strokes for different folks.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yeah, this is almost like a Babylon Bee headline. Minnesota Democratic Party second vice chair Shvetani Sathanadran, June 5th, 2020 says, we are going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. Say it with me, dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department, September 6, 2023. A picture of her with a bloody head, and it doesn't look very real to me. I mean, it looks like somebody absolutely got splattered by her, so something's not quite right with the photograph that's there. But yesterday, my children and I were violently carjacked in the driveway of our home in Minneapolis. Four very young men, all carrying guns, beat me violently down the ground in front of our kids. The young men held our neighbors up at gunpoint when they ran over and tried to help me, all in broad daylight. Now, I saw this, and I, of course, I took it for face value, but the more I look at it, anything feel off about this photo to you, Carl?
Yeah. I'm not liking the viscosity of what I'm looking at. I'm not liking that pattern of the location. Splatter,
you know, okay, so somebody got the carotid artery cut and it sprayed all over her, on the side of her head, but there's not a damn mark on her. I smell something very, very funny about this particular story or this particular headline along with that picture. But I thought it was an interesting sort of Babylon Bee scenario.
Yep.
And what was this one? Oh, yeah, Hairstyle. That's closing thoughts. Closing thoughts.
Okay. All right. Well, let us go to closing thoughts. And I'll go ahead and start. So I wrote this article last night, and just looking ahead with what I see going on in the kind of the landscape. And I try to keep my talking points to three. Research has shown that human beings are smart enough to remember three talking points, but not any more than that. So one, given that the history that we've been taught about what America was and is provably refuted and false, that people need to let go of a lot. And those of us who are watching the show and paying attention to the news, we already have a head start. But for the great deal of Americans, we're going to be a resource to walk them through the shock that, as a professional scholar, I say it to myself that people, they're going to find out they didn't know shit about fuck, really. And they didn't know. They were totally fooled. And all of the Orwellian inversions that they accepted. And they've been accepted because we've been brainwashed. All of us have. You go through corporate media and public education, you're going to be brainwashed. And those of us who have worked our way out of it to some degree, we're a little bit better than some, but you know, take a look. We're scrambling too. So the second bullet point is to emphasize that we love each other and that human beings are going to move together with this respect of a human being, kind of the Orwellian opposite of the division of the opponents to divide us by race, by color, by religion, and that if you're a human being, it goes back to the fundamental foundational philosophy of the United States and the Declaration of Independence of inalienable rights. If you're human, you have rights. You're a child of God. You are a child of the Creator, and you have rights. And that the big deal that I want to prep people for is that we're going into the unimaginable and unpredictable. And I have written, and I still stand that, it's going to have a lot to do with our economy and that there's something is going to break. And as you were talking about, Brian, a Ponzi scheme, it's not going to last. And when that goes down, I don't know what's going to happen, but Americans are going to see that they were sold into a system of lies. And the possibility, we have a spectrum of possibilities. On the one hand, let me get what you wanted here as I'm transitioning. On the one hand, we could have this Star Trek-like future, but if we lose this thing, then we're going to get great reset again. And it may be that human beings have been great reset several times. These people are without empathy. They, as we talk about, annually kill millions, harm billions, and loot trillions. So I don't think that there's any viable option other than to go for the win for this thing. And that when this breakthrough occurs, patriots, you're going to have a job to do. All right, Brian. Your final thoughts, brother.
I was just thinking about what I was going to say here. The win is holding on to your character And the win is being able to bring the next generation along in terms of showing them how to hold on to your character. I can tell you that when the chips are down, it's very, very easy to become a dragon that cares not what happens to anybody else but yourself. When things start to get tough, there's going to be a lot of very, very selfish people out there. And I just want to say this about character. I watched this YouTube video the other day, and it's about this young Australian man. He was about maybe 19 or 20 years old. And basically, he was broke, but he liked to drink, and he couldn't hold on to a job. And he's just a kid, you know, and hanging out in the pubs and all this. And he ran into this sort of mysterious combination of things that he could do with an ATM on a drunken binge one night, and found basically the hidden key for the magical glitch in the ATM machine. And so, you know, what do you think is going to happen with an 18 or 19 year old who kind of figures out how to work through this glitch and figures out how to pull cash out on this sort of revolving deposit money during this time, and then it won't show in this account, and then withdraw it bigger amount. And so he's figured out how to work these ATMs by mistake. And of course he was using his card to do it, so he knew it was just a matter of time. So what he started to do almost immediately is take the money that he was stealing or getting from the bank machine through this glitch, and he started gambling with it, thinking, oh, I just need to hit it big. And then I'll be able to repay all this debt, so they won't take me to jail. Well, then, like all stupid, drunk young kids, he starts blabbering off to his friends. And so he becomes sort of the ATM. Flash forward a couple months, and he's living at the most expensive hotel in Sydney on this multi-million dollar ATM glitch that they just hadn't simply caught up with yet, but they were going to catch up to because he was using his own ATM card. It was only a matter of time. And I thought the interesting part about the story was that the kid's conscience couldn't handle it. He knew that he was breaking the law, and it was only a matter of time before he was going to get caught. And so as the clock ticked, he began to realize that his soul was more important than all this money. And this is a real story. His soul was more important than all this money that he was taking out, and he sort of repented. And so he went to one of the phones next to the ATM, and he called the bank, and he said, "This is me, I'm doing this." And somebody at the bank said, "We're going to turn you into the police." And so he knew it was just a matter of time, basically put up the cuffs, and he cut up the magical card and forgot about it. Well, they just never came and got him. But imagine, he had to live the next couple of years of his life looking over his shoulder, waiting for the day they walked in and got him on this $2 million theft. And it drove him insane, so much so that to the point that he ended up going to a current affair in Australia and telling the story on television, which of course embarrassed the bank. So now, but the bank had deleted all the evidence because they didn't want anybody to know about the glitch, and they were going to take, it was crazy story. But my point was, it's an interesting study in psychology. And all these bad guys at the top that just constantly steal. It's going to catch up with them. And I can guarantee you that if a conscience still remains, it will burn deep inside them. But once that conscience dies and they're done, they become literally psychopaths awaiting the end and the judgment. And of course, they'll deny that it's ever going to come. They'll live like they're kings. They'll do what they want. And those are really what the Bible describes as the end times, when people just give up all sense of decency and morality and compass, a moral compass, and just do what their own thing is. I think among these elites, we're certainly approaching that. But among those of us that are the salt of the earth, we try to avoid that. And we like to sleep a peaceful night like I do.
Yep. Here's the quote from Aristotle.
Yep, the high-minded man must care for more for the truth than what people think. I say this in the context of, I quote this guy in the context of some of the content comments. You know, there's a lot of people out there that just take a hit, just take a shot. Like, we're not even human beings. And you know what? It would might get under my skin if any of it was true. So if you want to beat on me, you better come up with something that's true, and you better do your research. because otherwise it has no effect on me. I'm going to come back at you and hit you back just as hard as you hit me.
Awesome. There we go. I'd been running out of mouse power. It just informed me about 5 minutes ago it was low on battery and then it just died. All right. Well, thank you very much, Brian Davidson. And for our audience members, hang in there. We will be back on Monday with more of the news that you need to know.